Hare Krishna, this was a European tune which you just heard, and I noted that our Ganeshyam, who is actually a practiced classical pianist, he didn't believe his ears. this is Bach. What is the Swami singing? The Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach. You can sing with any tune. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra, this is very suitable, as long as you sing. Today I would like to give a little lecture about the subject matter called When Bad Becomes Good. I don't mean the bad for resting, I mean the bad things which happen. When bad becomes good. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So often when challenges happen in our lives and we lose courage to go on, we asked ourselves, where is the light of God, the guiding light of God in this? Well, as long as we are thinking crisis means crisis, it will be a crisis. But when we learn to think crisis means Krishna, it will become Krishna. And I want to give you a little illustration of this. In a deep insight which changed my perception for challenges, of challenges or of crises. And then I would like you, like all of us, to listen to the hero of crisis management, that is Haridas Thakur and his very deep spiritual insights. It was many years ago where I personally faced, a faith crisis in my spiritual life and also a health crisis that came together. With faith, I lost my faith in some people. And that was very painful because I had expected them to be saints and they were not. Health crisis, which happened at the same time, was just a very, very, very serious back problem, which became so serious that I had to be carried for some days to go to. This is a typical Sachinanda Swami scenario. He needs to be carried to his lectures, but he will not stop his lectures. So now you know who you have before you. At that time, a friend who dealt with chiropractic gave me a story to read, which I would like to narrate to you. a story which had a lot to do with the back.
To sit properly,
I just adjust this so that, because as I tell the story, I must sit straight, otherwise I lose the deep import of the story. There was once a guru who used to assemble with his disciples every night under the starlit sky, and he used to train and teach them there. They used to sit under a beautiful and very high palm tree. And it was strange. This palm tree was the only palm tree on that whole beach. There was no second palm tree, and also, for that matter, no other tree. So one day, one disciple thought that this palm tree was special. As the lecture was going on, he looked into the crown of the tree, and then he saw in the crown of the tree something which totally surprised him. It was a rock this size, which the tree seemed to hold, almost like a weight lifter who holds a weight. So after the teachings were over, he decided to ask his exalted spiritual master, Guru Maharaj, I feel this palm tree is special. What is so special about it? I see there is a rock. Is that the speciality? And who placed the rock into the crown of the tree? The spiritual master was visibly moved and started to cry a tear or two or maybe three. Then he said, yes, this palm tree is very special. It has helped me to become what I am now. There was a time when I was very restless and young. At that time, there were many palm trees here on the beach, but this particular palm tree was so beautiful, and it stood so erect and proud. I thought, why can't I be so stable as this tree? And when I thought the thought, a second thought crept into my mind, a very mean thought. Let me destroy the good fortune of this tree. So I took a rock, the rock which you see now in the tree, and I placed it in the crown of the tree, who at that time was only slightly bigger than my head. All my power. I lowered the stone or the rock into the crown, thinking this will be the slow death of the successful palm tree. For the first year, the palm tree was extremely troubled. The second year, the weight of the rock bent the palm tree down. The third year, it lost its leaves. And the fourth year, the storm came. It uprooted all the palm trees who stood around this one particular palm tree, except for the stone palm. And here in this area we have to address not the stoned palm, but the stone palm. Very important difference. The fifth year, the stone palm grew stronger. The sixth year, it grew higher. And now we are in the seventh year, It is a very strong and erect palm tree. Can any one of you guess, the Guru Maharaj, the Guru asked, looking at each single one of his disciples, why the palm tree who had the stone in the crown, the crippling stone in the crown, or the crisis rock in the palm crown, why it survived the storm and the others did not survive? Let us start with our children. Govinda ji.
Because the rock was on it, it kept it from being blown away because...
Here's one analysis. The rock kept it from being blown away because it was so heavy. Any other answer?
Does the rock force it to go deeper, the roots?
The rock forced the palm tree to grow roots which went very deep within the ground. Who agrees with this point? I personally also agree with this point because I know the story. Guru Maharaj said, yes, the crisis. The rock in the crown forced the palm tree to grow its roots very deep. And then, with these increased roots, it could weather even a heavy storm. So when a crisis strikes you, Keith, then it's time to think of your roots in life. And it is high time, when the crisis begins to shake you, to grow your roots even deeper and deeper. After I had survived that back problem, which came because also a rock of burden was on my shoulder, I decided to deal differently with the burdens which came upon me. I saw them as opportunities to grow. And this perspective changed many things. Physically, I decided I will become serious about exercises. I lost it again after I became well, but now I remember this, and New York for me is also the exercise town where I learn yoga exercises. But mentally, and I think that is even more important, the story led me into an understanding to grow my roots into the safe ground of love for Krishna. I mean, I'm not yet there. I'm trying to go deeper and deeper, but on this journey I find a lot of water, a lot of stability, a lot of comfort, and so on. So I would like to now tell you about a saint and the teachings and lessons he has given to us. It's Haridas Thakur who developed this different perspective of understanding crisis is Krishna, or an opportunity to grow deeper with your roots so that you can access Krishna. Haridas Thakur is a very good example of a genuine, compassionate saint. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the incarnation of Lord Krishna, who appeared in Kali Yuga, there is the picture, the Lord who dances, huh? He approached Haridas Thakur with great anxiety in his mind, and he said, "I do not see any possibility for the deliverance of the living entities. That is my great unhappiness. They are so fallen. They are so disturbed. I do not see how they can come to a higher level." He was troubled by seeing the pain of others and miseries of others. And Haridas so nicely pacified him and said, "Don't be in anxiety. There is the holy name, of Lord Krishna, which is so extremely powerful that even a person who just hears it negligently on the side, namabhasa, what to speak of chanting it purely, even such a person can very easily attain the highest goals in spiritual life. Don't be sorry, my Lord. In this age of Kali, chanting the holy name means to associate personally with Lord Krishna and develop love." So Haridas Thakur pacified him. And he was the example of chanting the holy name. Haridas Thakur chanted, imagine this number, 192 rounds every day. That means out of 24 hours of a day, he chanted for 22 hours. That left him with 2 hours to eat, to take care of the hygienic life, you know, bathe and wash, and to sleep. I think no one of us could easily imitate Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was actually, when one saw him sleeping, it was not real sleep. As he was lying down, his lips were going, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." It was not a full sleep. Haridas Thakur, as a result of absorbing his consciousness in the holy names of Krishna, was totally ecstatic. He would dance on the bank of Mother Ganga, and he would sometimes faint in loving ecstasy. But there were constant difficulties for Haridas Thakur. This surprised me when I first heard it. I thought, well, such a saint, everything should go smooth, like in a wellness center, you know, modern wellness center. What is this difficulty? You will see in a moment why this is so. For now, just please listen very carefully and enter with me into the experience which I have called therapeutic hearing. You hear the example of a great soul, and it will stir your soul, your own soul, to try to not be so mediocre, but also do something. The first very, very great obstacle he had to overcome was this. He was being in a village, and he was living in a simple hut, and soon his fame became so widespread that everyone came to just catch a glimpse and a little sound from Haridas Thakur. He became just so highly prestigious that the local Brahmana, Ramachandra Khan, became totally envious of the increasing popularity of Haridas Thakur, and therefore decided expose him or involve him in a scandal so that he would be exposed. So he called the best of the prostitutes and told him, "Can you somehow use all your charm to bring about the fall down of Haridas Thakur. And they tried, but in the end, the one who was most persistent changed and became a sadhvi, a saintly lady. Haridas Thakur gave her initiation. She took the garb of an ascetic person and she lived in the hut of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur went on to Fulia, where he started to live in a cave by the Ganga, a cave which was shared by him with a poisonous snake. Hare Krishna. He was totally oblivious to the world. Then the greatest ordeal came. Because he was of Muslim birth, the local Qazi, that's something like the mayor, became highly enraged that he had changed his religion, apparently, and he reported his case to the king, who summoned him. And after they tried to convert Haridas Thakur back, Haridas Thakur just laughed and said, "Oh, king, you are not very intelligent today. Don't you know that there's only one religion? The Muslims worship the one God, as the Hindus worship the one God, and that one God makes everyone become convinced of one path. So you're discussing as if there are two religions, but this is showing your lack of knowledge." And then he laughed, a very kind laugh. Yes, you are thinking like this. So the king became furious and ordered him to be flogged. Flogged, we say?
Whipped.
Through 22 marketplaces. And Haridas Thakur survived it. Usually you can survive 2 marketplaces and then you have a skin almost as leather, who has never seen any skin care, then you can survive maybe 3 marketplaces. But Haridas Thakur's soft and delicate body survived 22 marketplaces. It was really an ordeal. It was a real serious challenge. Now, when Haridas Thakur could not be thwarted or diverted from his path, the powerful material energy, Maya Devi, who is so powerful that she draws a curtain of illusion before everyone, decided to personally come and test Haridas Thakur. Matthew, I see already in shock your mouth has opened wide. He will be successful, don't worry. Powerful. Do you know what is Maya's power? Maya's power cannot be explained. Maya's power is like, Maya is such a subtle and powerful entity that she really enters the mind of the conditioned souls and puts them into illusion. I'm a German, I'm an American. But more harmful, this is the beginning of Maya's work. But she can be in your mind for the rest of your life so that you cannot wake up for self-realization and God consciousness. And it makes you do all kinds of things because Maya works together with lust, greed, envy, madness, and all these factors. So Maya Devi, Maya decided to take the form of a beautiful lady, a temptress, you would say in English. And came personally to the banks of the Ganga. By her power, the whole universe spins around. Living entities are born and reborn, following the pursuits which Maya puts in their mind. By Maya's power, imagine, the whole, she takes on another form that is the creative energy which creates and destroys the whole universe. It's the sheer power. It's actually the power per se. So she came personally, as Haridas Thakur said one night in the bank, at the bank of the Ganga. The full moonlight was there. The sound of the waves sounded very melodically, something like this. Shoo-be-doo. Shoo-be-doo. Something like this. The waves looked most dazzling, Yadunath, as the moonlight danced in tiny apparitions on the waves. And then she came, a woman whose body was so bright and who emanated the hue of a yellow flower. Her body was perfumed so that soon the scent of her magical body filled all the directions. The tinkling of the ankle bells which she wore startled the ear. It was just so absolutely attractive. She came in like the best of womanly saints and offered her obeisances to the sacred Tulasi plant. And then she sat down in some little distance before Haridas Thakur, and she began to exhibit various feminine postures, which even the greatest philosophers who think that all form is illusion would lose patience upon seeing. Haridas Thakur said, "Oh, you are my guest, what can I do for you?" And she looked with her eyes into his eyes and said, "Union, union, union is what my heart desires. No one will be watching us. You are a saintly person. My heart is afflicted with misery, the misery of not satisfying your every desire. Please, saints have to alleviate the miseries of the fallen people. Please have union with me." Haridas Thakur said, "Good idea. But I first have to complete my sacred vow of completing 3 lakhs of names. That's 192 rounds, Matthew." I'm just getting there. Very close I am already. "You kindly sit here and I will complete my vow and then it is your time." So she waited. Then the morning sun rose and colored the eastern horizon crimson. And then Haridas Thakur said, "Oh, already morning time? I've not finished my vrata." She said, "Chant more, I come back in the evening." She disappeared. In the evening she came again with the same proposal. Haridas again responded, "Good idea, but after I've chanted my quota." Then on the third, when the morning of the third day approached, Maya Devi said, "Oh Haridas, for 3 days you have cheated me. I cannot understand how you can keep your vow in my presence. I have made even the creator of the universe scream out in lust after me, but you are just chanting. How do you do it? And she offered her most humble and respectful obeisances. I am the illusory energy. I came here to test you. Your mind alone I have failed to attract. Then she continued, you are the foremost of the devotees. Simply by seeing you and hearing your chanting, my consciousness is purified. And then she began to cry tears. Oh Haridas, I know there is a flood of love of God inundating the whole world at the moment. It is there because of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please look here, who is freely distributing the gift of love. Those who do not float in this flood of love of God can never be delivered, even in 1,000 years. And then Maya said something very confidential, and I beg you to listen very carefully to this. She said, Haridas, I want to be initiated by you into this secret of love. I bewilder all these foolish conditioned souls who have turned their faces away from God. But you I cannot bewilder because you have turned your face towards God. How do you do it? Previously I chanted the name of Rama. Ram, 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 Ram. But now, I was initiated at that time by Lord Shiva. But the names of Rama can only give liberation from this world. Only Lord Krishna's name gives one love of Godhead. Please now give me initiation in the names of Lord Krishna. Haridas Thakur said, please sit next to me. And then he leaned forward and chanted the holy names of Krishna into her ear, and in this way initiated the powerful material energy. My dear audience, my dear devotees, Maya Devi is a great devotee of Krishna. This world is actually under the control of Krishna. It's not bad. And Maya can also come into the temple or into this situation. She can do this. She will test you. Are you sincere in your practice? Are your roots deep? If you are not, then Maya will show you one face. That is the face of illusion, which has this powerful force of pratikatmika shakti. It just pulls you or throws you away from Krishna. When you look into the face of Maya, there is a certain energy which works very, very powerful, and it pulls you away from Krishna. It's when you are not in Krishna consciousness. I had this experience today. Today is not, the morning was not a good day for me. I was just weak and overstrained by so many responsibilities and so on. And these things in Germany, which now have turned out very nice, but it was a laborious work for everyone involved to bring the Veda Academy to Berlin. So, yes, finally we were successful. 99% success, but in December I know more. But yes, And I was a little strained and I was tired. And I must admit, also Swamis can sometimes become stressed for a minute or so. So I was in the taxi driving to the next stressful engagement. And for a moment I was not alert, and I looked. I remember there was a poster. A poster which had such a Mayic message. It was about one person who was boxing another person, and that person who was boxed fell on the sidewalk, and I felt so disturbed. Why are people so violent? You know, why do they have such posters? And I felt for a moment distressed, and then I knew I had just looked into Maya's eyes. See, you see Maya's, the illusory potency's eyes, the moment you are not turning your face to Krishna. Then I thought, oh yes, I give today a lecture that we have to turn into the right direction. I better turn into the right direction. And I changed my perspective. So this is... And I looked into the beautiful eyes of Maya. That eyes where even the material energy can support you in your development of God consciousness. I looked like this, or here that person. Anyways, that was only a poster, you know, some show theater poster, and so on. So I don't want to make more out of it than there is. So Maya, when you are not deeply rooted in your spiritual practice, can turn you away from God. But this turning away from God can send a powerful message also to you that let me grow my roots deeper. When you have a day where you are down and out and depressed and so on, don't leave it like this. Oh, Prabhuji, you must listen better. When you are down and out, don't leave it like this. Immediately turn to Krishna. Grow your roots deeper, and you will see how the same situation can become totally different, just like the palm tree took the rock and the crown of the tree to be a very, very wonderful opportunity. Never take crisis or when you are overwhelmed by Maya as such. Just develop another perspective, and Maya will help you to grow your roots very, very deep. So, I want to ask you the question, how was it that Haridas Thakur could so easily overcome the diverting potency of the material energy, the Maya's influence? The answer to this question could be found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says there, Krishna Nama Vishta Mana Sada. Haridas was absorbed all within thoughts of Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. Therefore the feminine poses the woman exhibited were just like crying in the forest. You know, when someone cries in the forest, no one hears it. So when Haridas Thakur saw Maya making her attempts, he simply didn't hear it. His perception didn't receive it, because he had become successful in turning all this to Krishna, the direction in which Maya also looked. See, when all of us look into the same direction, we don't look into each other's eyes. So when we look in the... Maya looks in the direction of Krishna, and if you look in the direction of Krishna, you will never see Maya. But the moment you turn around and look into the eyes of Maya without Krishna, then you might become, totally bewildered and illusioned and totally struggling with your life. This might be possible. This idea of calling out Krishna's name and then bringing your mind to Krishna, that will be so strong that Maya will never be able to do anything, Yadunath. The idea is when you chant the sacred mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. You should meditate about, you should be in the presence of Krishna. You should feel like that. I'm now addressing my Lord. I'm now thinking of my Lord. I'm now calling out for my Lord. And at that moment, your spiritual practice will be very powerful. But if you only mechanically produce the sound, much like a parrot, like, then, and your mind is not absorbed in Krishna, then there will not be such an effect. Then you are diverted. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives three very powerful advices which help us to grow our roots deeper and become more absorbed in Krishna while we chant. He says the first exercise which a chanter should do is he should meditate about the fact that the name of Krishna is identical with Krishna himself. That's the first meditation. The second meditation which you should do when you want to go deeper and grow your roots deeper in your spiritual practice is that you chant in a prayerful mood. My dear Lord, I am at the present moment drowning in the ocean of birth and death. Hare Krishna, Om Hrishikesha. Please kindly save me from the ocean of birth and death. And the third is meditation where you say, Oh my Lord, please let me come to you. Please let me serve you. Please let me offer something for your pleasure in this life. Huh? If you chant like this, you will immediately find yourself in ecstasy. Recently in New York, I was at a conference, and then when I passed, it was a nice conference where I met very nice people, and when I passed, when I went out of the conference hall, there was the portier. And you know, in New York, everyone asked you, how are you? It's not that they're necessarily interested, I found out. but the question is there anyways. Huh? How are you? And I decided to give him an answer, a truthful answer, which he will never forget. I said, I'm in bliss. Wow, he said. Now you are speaking, man. And he said, "What is in bliss? You are in bliss. I would like to be in bliss." And we just had a brief exchange. It was a quick exchange because we were a little in a hurry to reach somewhere. This when you can somehow chant the names of Krishna and then feel the presence of Krishna in your life, the overwhelming momentum tremendous, what is that? The overwhelming feeling of being in God's presence. Then the chanting is real chanting. But when you chant and your mind is somewhere in nobody's land, your mind is bleeping on and off with the material thoughts, then it is not such a good experience. We should somehow bring our minds into the presence of Krishna. And these simple meditations will help you. Krishna is not different from his name. And that meditation that Krishna, I'm here and you are there. Obviously Krishna is also here. But the devotee feels this separation. At least in my perception you are there. I would like you to be also here where I am. Then the devotee will genuinely experience good transcendental emotions of transcendental bliss in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Haridas Thakur is our hero. Haridas Thakur is teaching us that mindless chanting will not do. otherwise, I think you agree with me, he would not survive the beatings over 22 marketplaces. It didn't even, not even feel anything, because his mind was so absorbed. My dear devotees, my dear friends and my dear skeptics, spiritual life can be summarized in only one simple word, that is absorption. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Please comfortably sit with us. this is a spiritual life can be summarized in this one beautiful word of absorption. To become absorbed is very, very, very nice. We want that our mind is becoming absorbs the blue, deep blue color of Lord Krishna. Do you know how to make this cloth? Saffron? Well, you take a saffron bowl, you put the saffron dye in it, it's called dye. We have to dye with a Y. We have to dye with a Y. Like, then we put it inside, and as it's inside, it absorbs the color. Then you take it out, and it's the every fabric of the clothes is colored saffron. When you take a stone ari and put it into a saffron bowl, the stone will remain the stone. It will not be able to absorb anything. So you can see how genuinely advanced a person is, how much he is able to absorb in his spiritual life, how much he can fill himself with a wonderful thought of Lord Krishna. Absorption is so entirely important in spiritual life. It's all about absorption. It's all about that. The way we do this absorption in our tradition is to keep a lot of contact by practices and persons who have absorbed this divine spiritual energy. If you are intelligent in monitoring your spiritual life, you will always think, how can I absorb my consciousness? You will always choose, in other words, the spiritual platform of your life. You will think, when you go to bed, and I want to ask you this question, you should go to bed and asking your question, how much was I absorbed today? And just go, as you fall asleep, over the moments. Maybe it was when you were chanting. Maybe it was in that 1 minute when you were sitting on the bench of the in the Central Park near to the Metropolitan Museum of New York Art. Modern art. Yeah. Whatever it is, we will know tomorrow more. And you were on that bench, and you were just looking around in Central Park, maybe at the Shakespeare Building, and so on. And all of a sudden, this scene seemed to be not so important any longer. You didn't see the museum or the lake or the Shakespeare town or castle or whatever, but you saw everything as an energy of Krishna, and you had that one moment that here is your wonderful creation. Spiritual life means to collect these jewels of absorption and to make them more in your life, so that finally you have a treasure of absorption every day. or we are in the Brahmachari ashram, we live here in a Brahmachari ashram, you should see, it's quite a scene. not a scene, maybe that's a derogatory.
No, it's not.
It's quite an adventure. It's a traditional ashram. The moment you come up the stairs, you see everywhere dhotis, this cloth hanging around, Zaman Zari, I saw. But not from the Brahmachari. Then when you enter the ashram, the first thing is you smell the kitchen, because we cook all day for different programs, for the university, for here, for there, for everywhere. We are really, the Brahmachari ashram's kitchen is really impressive. Then you see, when you come into the ashram, the devotees studying. I was very overwhelmed. Sometimes they seem to study with books, and then you also see something which I have never seen before. Each devotee has his computer and studies with a computer. This is amazing. This is something we should send to India. This is a modern Brahmachari ashram. Then you will see one room where some Brahmacharis will take a little rest, because after all it is New York and it can get a little bit on your mind. And then you see loving dealings, means they discuss about spiritual things. You see classes, they have different private classes where they are educating themselves and going deeper. In a few days I will give a Brahmachari class there. And so why all this? What are these men, young men, teaching us? They want to become absorbed. And that's a wonderful example. That's an example which all of us can take. Also those of us who work, those of us who study maybe. There are also some inmates in our temple, they are just making their examen. I can always see they have big examen books on computer programming, and another is in business, and still another is in pharmaceutical and medical industry. So it's quite a scene in our Brahmachari ashram. It's extremely, extremely interesting. It's like more interesting than any movie could be. And it's a very variegated experience. But the whole center point of these men who have dedicated themselves as monks to the spiritual practice in the midst of New York is to absorb themselves, to become like the white cloth which wants to become saffron. All of you, please make this examination each evening. How much have I absorbed, and what is my tomorrow's absorption plan? Yeah? What is my tomorrow's absorption plan? And then you can increase the time of your absorption. You can actually color your consciousness so that it's no longer Maya colored, but Krishna colored. With this simple little exercise, I want to leave you today. I want to thank you very, very much that you have so kindly come to this program in Krishna Consciousness. I really hope that you take this little piece of advice. Try it today. When you know, there are a few minutes before you go to sleep, and usually you just lie around and you don't know what to do, and it's really a very uncreative phase in your life, you know. So then the time you can, this is done in spiritual circles, and then you think about this question, how much have I absorbed myself? Where was it exactly? At which time? What happened? What were the circumstances? And when you go to bed with this exercise, the next morning when you wake up, you have a wonderful spiritual programming in your head where you will search out for the opportunities to absorb yourself for the next day. Some of you nod your head. This is a good practice, isn't it? We will do. We will do. We will do. Yes. We will do. This evening. Evening, please start. It's a wonderful exercise. You just review the day, and instead of looking for the things which were disturbing to you, you look out for the things where you actually were absorbed, where you discovered Krishna, Ari. You look for this. Mm-hmm. And then next morning you will wake up, and after you've done this for a month, I can guarantee you, you will not be in Maya any longer. Michael looks a little skeptical. Really? Is it so easy? And it may be for a little bit more difficult, Michael. Your glance was a glance of truth. Yes, it requires some exercise. Time is also there. I want to really take you on a journey, and I want to ask you, there are two things which I have prepared for you on the computer. Not me, Matthew, our computer genius, has it already, correct? I have two very nice travel shows. They're not slideshows, they're travel shows. One on the sacred mountain Kailash, and the other, which I showed yesterday in the New York University, on Gangotri, visiting the source of the river Ganga. May I just ask you for a quick show of hands? What is Mount Kailash? Mount Kailash is a sacred mountain per se. Some say the center of the world, the Meru Mountain. It's the residence of the earthly residence of Lord Shiva in this world, and it's the ultimate pilgrimage, really. Ultimate in the sense it is most challenging, but it's very, very rewarding. So we will now ask you for a quick show of hands. Who is for Mount Kailash? I'm sorry.
Nobody raised their hand, Raj. Nobody.
Let me see. Once again, Mount Kailash. Okay. Who is for Gangotri? Oh. You are in an obvious minority. So we will put everything together. I'm also very happy that our mother Sukavaha is here, because she has seen Gangotri. Today you see the other.